Tomorrow is February 29th. That is Leap Day. And there is a campaign underway called the Year of the Frog to draw attention to the fact that something between like quarter and half of the world's frogs are in danger of extinction due to habitat loss, environmental damage, and a very nasty fungus called the chytrid fungus that is wiping them out. I spoke yesterday with representatives from Canadian zoos and aquariums who are passionate about this subject and trying to do something to save the frogs.
And then we heard from Jackie Wind. Jackie lives in Tofino, B.C., and is concerned about the frogs there. She's putting together a frog dictionary, and she sent us this tape of herself seemingly communicating with a frog.
We've got Jackie at home in Tofino. Jackie, hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
What were you saying to that frog?
Well, I had been communicating with that little frog for a couple of weeks, just saying bleep to him. So he thought he had a little friend out. You know, it's all happening in the dark. They don't see each other. So he thought he had a little friend who says bleep. And then when I said ribbit to him, he thought a new frog had arrived, so he made a different sound.
And so ribbit really works, does it?
Yeah, you can hear these frogs. They say different sounds. Each frog sounds a little bit different, but it can sound something like wa'at, which is actually the native New Channel's word here for frog. They call them wa'at, or sometimes it sounds like ribbit or preep.
What kind of frog were you speaking with?
It's a Pacific tree frog, and he is a male. It's only the males that make that sound.
How did you pick up this hobby of talking and communicating with frogs?
Well, I've always been a bit of a nature girl, but 7 or so years ago, where I was living, there was a construction site right across from my house, and in one of those little tiny wheel ruts, I could hear a frog croaking, so I went out to try and see him, and I couldn't see him, but I found these eggs in there that were obviously going to get run over by the truck the next day, so I scooped the eggs out. They looked like they'd already been run over. I didn't even know if they were going to survive or not, and next thing you know, I was a tadpole mother, and I had to learn all about tadpole care, and then they metamorphosed, and I had to learn about frog care.
Wow. So, and you learned the language.
Yeah, I'm up to 4 words so far, and it seems to be stagnating there. If I get enough to fill a full page, I might make a book or a brochure or something.
4 words, and what are those words?
Well, there's the one that we heard there. They're little, like, it sounds like bleep or ribbit or what, and they say that repeatedly in the spring, and that's the males sitting in the ditches calling females, and that's kind of their saying, this is my little territory, come on, you girls, come on over.
And just hang on now. So are you sending out a little misleading advertising?
Well, I think their territory is really small, so I think he just kind of thought I was another guy sitting around the corner just out of sight. Like, there were no, where we were, there wasn't, like, really a lot of other frogs around for females to come hopping over. So, I suppose I am, but I don't think it was really disrupting the balance or anything.
I hope it's not too much of a big letdown, though, you know?
A little female comes hopping by and sees this big, warm-blooded creature there.
Exactly. I think I interrupted you at 3 words.
Yeah, I think that was really, so there's the what one that's the breeding call. Then there's the one we heard on that tape when I said ribbit, and all of a sudden he thought a new frog had arrived on the scene he'd never met before. And I've heard them do this before when I've talked to them out in the ditches, and it's kind of a little that seems to mean, hey, there's a new frog here. Or it could be communicating to the other frog, but I think it's the frogs who are already there talking to one another, so it means, hey, somebody new has arrived in our pond. Then there's one time when this male frog that I had, I let him go back into the pond, and he kind of had a little headbutting session with another frog to get territory, so they're kind of going, what, which is like a frog argument over who gets to sit on the stick. And then the other one that's really distinctive is you hear in the fall, it's a territorial croak that the males will do. They'll just climb up in a tree and they'll just go, what, from a tree, and it just kind of means, yeah, this is my place, nothing much is going on, but you other guys, just keep out of here.
Jackie, you were talking about how you've got the Pacific tree frog right in your backyard practically. What is the story with the frog population in your part of Vancouver Island?
Well, we're right out here on the west coast of Vancouver Island and Tofino, and I've lived where I live, out on the beach, for 6 years. I've lived here for about 13 years altogether, but in this house, 6 years. And in that 6 years, I'm on a corner, so I've got ditches on two sides of me. And definitely, you hear, you can tell so much in the spring. It's usually around the first or second week of March that they start croaking in the ditches. So you can tell how healthy the frog population is. And where it used to be all along the ditches, now, it just in 6 years, there are only a few little pockets that you hear it. And there's an old-timer who lived out on the beach. He passed away a couple of years ago. But he was telling me that what I thought was a lot of frogs 5 years ago, he was saying, this is nothing compared to what it was like when I first got here. And you can tell it's partly due to development, that there's a building that was just put in a couple of years ago in what was one of the frog breeding ponds, and they just completely bulldozed that over. So there goes a whole big breeding area.
Jackie, thanks for joining me this morning.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Jackie Wind of Tofino, British Columbia.